Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ageless Listens with Brenda Pierce. You've come to the right place for candid conversations, inspiration, and empowerment. Join me with my very special guests as we bring you media that matters on the Divas That Care Network. For more about the Divas and to listen to various podcasts, visit www.divasthatcare.com. Now let's get on with the show.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Ageless Blissings Radio. I'm Brenda Pierce, the empowered nurse here to triage body, mind, and spirit with my amazing guests. I'm bringing you media that matters because I believe that we need to live life to the fullest every moment of every day. I wish to invite you to connect to our marketplace for workshops, books, services, and so much more. Please visit tinyurl.com/AABM Marketplace, and you will be inspired by the many books and workshops and so much more, gifts and freebies and everything else. So today's special guest is Miranda Dehaan. Miranda joins me as one of the contributing authors to the international bestseller Light at the End of the Funnel Volume 2 book, which can be currently found on Amazon and will be released to retail stores in the near future. Actually, the physical launch of the book is next week in San Diego, California. Miranda is one of the inspired contributors, and she is an animal health technologist, speaker, and chief navigator of Petwell Navigation. As part of her training in the field, she was required to work in the euthanasia section of the Humane Society. It broke her heart to have to kill these cats, dogs, and other surrendered animals who weren't necessarily sick, simply because nobody was adopting them. Upon reading some of the reasons that pets had been surrendered to the Humane Society, she realized that if the guardians of these pets had better access to certain information and resources about pet care, health, and wellness, they may not have felt the need to give up their beloved pets. Miranda's mission is to help reduce the number of animals ending up in rescue shelters, enhance knowledge and awareness, and help guardians feel empowered to make decisions so their pets can be the happiest, healthiest versions of themselves. You are invited to visit Miranda's page at facebook.com/PetWellNavigator and then capital YEG. So Petwell Navigation, Petwell Navigation, capital Y, capital E, capital G. So please check it out, and we will be joining her right after this commercial.
Do you experience frequent headaches, sleep disturbances, skin prickling and burning, rashes, transient muscle and joint pain? Do you sit in front of your computer or under fluorescent lights for long periods of time? You could be experiencing electromagnetic sensitivity. Reduce the ravages with PEMF therapy. Just 8 minutes twice daily will calm your body down to healthy resonance and regeneration. Reduce stress and promote well-being. Find out more today by visiting www.pemfconsultant.com. That's www.pemfconsultant.com today.
And welcome back. And PEMF therapy is definitely something that should be a part of every pet's lifestyle as well as their humans, because the ravages of our Wi-Fi'd world are really wreaking havoc on our lives, our very livelihood. So if you are having sleep disturbances, any physical transient pain, a general sense of anxiety or depression that seems to be looming, poor circulation, please consider connecting with me and learning more about PEMF therapy. You can go to the PEMF therapy group page, facebook.com/groups/PEMF consultant, and you will get a ream of information on what's going on in our world around us and how all health is really cell health. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about the book, Light at the End of the Funnel, Volume 2. It is now available on Amazon, and you can actually order it. The actual Kindle Hold on for a second. Miranda's having some difficulty getting in. And we'll let her have a moment or two to try to get in. Sometimes there's technical glitches that make it really difficult. But light at the end of the funnel is the brainchild of Danielle and Eric Clark. They are the visionaries of Entrepreneur City and the live events that they have in Atlanta in the springtime and San Diego in the fall. So they have brought forward a mission to help empower entrepreneurs to share their stories and their truths and make it possible for, to share the light, that there is light at the end of the funnel, that your struggles are not for nothing, and and that everything has value. There's a reason for every struggle and every challenge that we go through in this entrepreneur world. So I'm just going to give her a little minute more. You are invited to check it out. Next week in San Diego is the actual physical launch, and there is an Entrepreneur City event that is happening in San Diego in the gas lamp area, and it is going to be jam-packed full of stories and speakers of the book are going to be sharing from the stage their interests and their highlights and their inspiration. And so if you need to check out further, please check out the Amazon link for Light at the End of the Funnel. And here is Miranda DeHaan. Hi, Miranda. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you were able to make it through all those busy signals to finally break through.
Yeah, well, and there was a little bit of confusion because I thought it was Mountain Standard Time instead of Eastern Standard Time.
Well, here we are. At any rate, I'm happy that you're here to join us. And Miranda, you are a pet navigator. And after seeing the destruction of life at the hands of euthanasia because there just was no one there to adopt these beautiful animals, you took it upon yourself to develop pet navigation and really help people to understand more about the journey of animals and connecting them to the right people, right?
Yes. Yes, that's
please
correct.
Tell us how this came about.
Well, it was kind of a bit of a journey because my childhood experiences caused me to develop a desire to want to do something to help others that couldn't help themselves. So I grew up thinking I wanted to be either a veterinarian or a nurse. And ultimately, I ended up in the animal health technology field. And as part of the requirement for the course, we needed to work in the euthanasia section of the Humane Society. And it was just that realization that, because a lot of the cages, they have the notices of why the animal was surrendered. And it just blew my mind, some of the reasons that people surrendered their animals, and it was things that could be resolved if they had the resources and the information. So it just, and I wasn't even at that
point
that I was really thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's a harsh reality, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you weren't thinking about it right at that time. Did you complete the course?
Yes, I did. Yes, and
ended up
working in the veterinary clinics. But it kind of took a little bit of time before that sort of conscious realization sort of settled in. I had another business where I was doing pet sitting services, and I was able to see even more in that field, in that type of work, just how much lack of information there is. And it's just not a question of whether people love their pets or not and want the best for their pets, But if you don't know what you don't know, then you can only do what you can with what the information you have.
Right, right. And some people don't stop to do the research, right? They just look at the cuteness of a puppy or a kitty, and they think that, you know, the world is perfect and this is divine, and then the reality sets in. You know, puppies grow and their needs and demands happen, and sometimes, like, for instance, my own dog, Daisy, I've had her for 16 years, but she was found in our small town with her collar and leash on, running around, and the Humane Society found her. She was a day away from euthanasia when I found her and adopted her. So I figured there was a reason why, because the spirit of a Jack Russell is insurmountable for the tiny size that they are. So I'm sure the person... had best intentions, but the dog probably pulled their arm out of their socket more than a few times in trying to be the puppy that they are. So, yeah, so exactly. You have to believe that there's a reason for everything, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the animals have can have such big personalities and have so many different types of care that they need, and the amount of exercise, the amount of space that they need, all this kind of stuff. And it's a lot of things that people don't really consider ahead of time.
That's true. Or big dogs in small houses that require to be walked twice a day. And it's a commitment. It really is. And then their physical needs need to be met, not just putting puppy chow in their dish. Yeah, I can see where you got to see from all your perspectives, and I'm sure a lot of these animals touched your heart in such a beautiful way through the years as well.
For sure.
So when you did develop pet navigation, what kinds of things did you consider in putting your business together?
Well, I considered how I wanted to reach people, being able to do educational talks and presentations, but I want to be able to have people be able to have their pets for as long as possible and have their pets be the happiest and healthiest versions of themselves that they can be, because that just develops a much better relationship between the pet and their guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still, I guess, still working on that connection, but it's just my real reason for this for the time being is that I want to reduce the number of animals that end up in the rescue shelter by developing that knowledge and awareness.
And it's a very, very important thing to do, because the shelters are overrun with beautiful animals who just have no place to go.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, when you saw the Humane Society and the reasons for these precious animals being let go, you know, it's heartbreaking. Every one of those animals had a story, and, you know, and the no voice to tell it. And so for us to destroy life like that, when there's so much left to be given and offered by these precious souls, really touches the heart in such a deep and painful way. Oftentimes, you know, there obviously was reasons for them being let go, but didn't mean that their life necessarily needed to be over. So in your work, I'm sure, as a pet vet tech, you know, you've got a wealth of knowledge. There's so much that's being released nowadays on integrative approaches to wellness and health, and from a people perspective, but from a pet perspective, that's pretty much an untapped territory, isn't it?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there is information on the internet, but the problem with the internet, with anything, any topic, is that there can be a lot of information that is inaccurate, incorrect, misinformed type of information. And unless you're somebody who's really, really diligent in your research and that, you could be getting information that is harmful to your pet. And so that's why I developed what I did, because I will talk with people one-on-one, specifically regarding their own pet, to help them to understand situations, you know, what their pet more specifically needs, and it's not just generalized.
Great. That's just it. The personalized approach is always the best way to go, with credible sources. Mm-hmm. And this is the whole thing. Like you say, there's a lot of misinformation. Like, people watch different pet training shows on TV and run with something that may necessarily not work for their pet, and then wonder why things fall awry, if, you know, it is that personal touch that makes all the difference in the world. So with your participation in the book, Light at the End of the Funnel, Volume 2, share with the mm-hmm. audience a little bit of what they will read about from your chapter, just to give them a bit of the essence for it.
Well, it basically talks about my journey on how I ended up doing what I'm doing. And it talks about my childhood experiences, and my connection with pets at that time, as how I started off, and then just kind of goes through my journey of my experiences up till now. And it's also just got a bit of a sort of a personal development aspect of it. To it on what lessons I've learned and what I've been able to glean from these experiences, and how this might help other people in their potential journeys that they're on.
That's beautiful. Beautiful. So you also have a group on Facebook, a page on Facebook, where people can learn more about your work. And what kinds of things can they get from the page as well?
Well, the Facebook page is still in development at this point, but it it does give an explanation as to how the business developed, and talks about a couple of the options that are available right now, the consultations and the presentations. But it also has some videos that also just give some information that people might be able to learn from.
That's excellent, excellent. So there'll be Facebook Lives and more video, mm-hmm. more teaching, more lessons to be learned, more ways to, as your business expands and grows and touches more pet mm-hmm. owners and pets, it'll be a growth experience for you. Do you have a website as well at this mm-hmm. point?
Not at this point, but probably in the future.
Awesome, awesome. But there's going to be some amazing, you know, the chapter that you have developed and present will be full of wonderful inspiration and information, I'm sure, for the audience, which is perfect. And the personal development piece to it is also very important, isn't it? Because as people with pets, we become better people because of our pets, and they teach us so mm-hmm. much, don't they?
Yes, they do.
So I'd love... Yes, they do, that's for sure. Can you, we talked about maybe you sharing some key points for the audience that can help them generally with their pet experience from your point of view. Do you have some of those ready to share?
Well, I do have one that I had written down about pets, but I also had made a couple of ideas about that's more business related.
Okay.
In connection to how. Yeah. So the first one is if someone is thinking about starting a business, to consider where your passions lie and not just how much money you can make from it. Because from my experience, if I do something that's just for the sake of making money, I don't do very well at it. Now, there are some people who can sell anything, and I know that. But but for someone like myself, it's like I need to be passionate about what it is that I'm doing. Otherwise, I can't sell it. And people know, they can tell on an energetic level or whatever that that I'm not really into what it is I'm doing. And so I would suggest that people can ask themselves, is can they find fulfillment in whatever business that they're thinking of doing?
Those are two very key points, that's for sure.
Well, I kind of combine that as one, but
yeah, but they are. They're two halves of the same coin, aren't they?
Yes. The second one is if a person is feeling like their life might be in a rut, that they're just kind of, every day is kind of the same, nothing's changing, and maybe they're not satisfied with that kind of situation, is to consider doing something that challenges them every day or once a week, whatever kind of works for them. And that it could be things like taking a course, learning something new, doing some kind of a new activity, or even just something like starting a conversation with a stranger or behaving in a different way. Because I think that if we shake things up a little bit and push ourselves out of our comfort zone a little bit, it can take our lives in a completely different direction.
Absolutely. It changes the neurotransmitters in our brain as well to be more open to receiving information because the information is being challenged or being changed. So it's a very healthy thing to do for our brains and our lives. And like you say, it opens up for new opportunities as well, which is really amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very powerful.
Yeah. And so the third one that is related to pets is what people should consider thinking about before they get a pet. Because it's great that, like you were saying, it's great that the animal is cute and everything, but puppies grow up to be dogs and kittens grow up to be cats, and they don't kind of retain that cuteness for the rest of their lives. I mean, they do to a certain extent, I guess, depending on how you look at it, but...
But their personalities are so different, aren't they? Like, you know,
they very much are.
They're not these moldable lumps.
Yeah, so they need to consider, like, what is their lifestyle like? Are they always going out and doing things, or are they homebodies? You know, how big is your home? Are you living in a one-bedroom apartment, or do you live in a house? You know, do you have a backyard? That kind of thing. And... you know, what is your activity level compared to what the pet's activity level is? I mean, if you're typically a couch potato and you get a border collie, you're going to run into problems. Because border collies are extremely active and also not just physically active, they need to be mentally engaged as well.
Right.
So, and then the other thing is expenses. You know, it's not just about, you know, their food, you know, and their toys and treats. It's also about, well, what happens if they get sick? Can you, you know, afford to do surgery or get treatment for them or something like that, you know. And for me, it's really, I'm very passionate that pets are not disposable. You know, I think of them in the same way as children. It's like when we, even if we adopt a child, we don't like decide after a couple of years, oh, this isn't working, I'm going to give them back. You know,
yeah,
we keep working
right.
with them, right?
Yeah.
You know, we try to find ways to deal with any issues that might come up. And I think the same should be the same with pets as well.
Yes, exactly. Well, certain pets, certain breeds of animals, and especially if they're crossbred between different breeds of say, dogs, they end up with certain anomalies sometimes that are like pugs drool a lot. So if you have a pug mix, you know, is it going to be, you know, which dominant factor is going to be the prevalent one in terms of traits that are generically specific to a breed? Or certain animals end up with back issues and joint issues rather than others. And so, you know, that's part of that navigation, isn't it? What are you willing to take on and deal with is, be, you know, other than the cuteness of the dog growing up or the cat growing up, but specifics to the breed, right?
Right. And it certainly is a lot more challenging when it is a mixed breed and you're basically guessing what it might be a mix of. Because there's a lot of, well, a lot of Heinz 57s, I guess you can call them. And, you know, you look at them and like, well, they might have that in them, or they might have that in them, or they might have that in them. So you can't always go by the breed mixture as to what there might be. So there's that kind of risk that you have to be prepared that something could end up coming up that you're not aware of. But there is pet insurance out there, too, which can be really, really helpful for unexpected health issues.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that. It seems to be more and more prevalent all the time that that's being promoted, and you feel in your wisdom and your experience that that's a good investment to cover the risks of whatever maladies will crop up during the life of your pet, right?
I think that it very much is, but I think people also need to research or ask me about the different insurance companies, because like most insurance companies, there's ones that are really good and there are ones that are maybe not quite so good, you know, in terms of their coverage or how they deal with their clients and that type of thing. So,
good to know.
But another alternative, but another alternative people could have too is to open up a savings account that's specifically for their pet and put some money aside every month for their pet.
Oh, that's a great idea. You don't hear that being mentioned very often, so I really appreciate you sharing that. That's a great, great tip, especially if you have larger animals like horses and, you know, and that sort of thing as well. So we're winding down right now, Miranda. The half hour has gone by so quickly. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, they can either contact me through my Facebook page, which has my phone number and email address as well. That's probably the phone number and the email is probably the best way to contact me, because I will see those a lot more quickly than I will seeing a Facebook notice. So do you need me to say
you can share
the number and the email address? Okay.
Sure.
All right. So the phone number is 780-915-4079. And the email address is Miranda, MIRANDA, dot Dehan, DEHAAN, at gmail.com.
Perfect. Thank you, Miranda. It's been fabulous having you, and I look forward to reading your chapter in Light at the End of the Funnel, Volume 2. Bye for now, everyone. Remember, you are love and you are loved. You are blessed and you are a blessing.
You have been listening to Ageless Blessings with Brenda Pierce. The views and opinions have been those of the participants and are not to be taken as medical advice. For more Ageless Blessings, visit www.facebook.com/agelesslistings. Until next time, have a wonderful body, mind, and spirit-filled week.